والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Today inshallah we'll be reading the 33rd and the 34th hadith inshallah from the Arba'un of Al-Imam Al-Nawawi rahimahullah. The 34th hadith is the hadith of the companion Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. Native says, عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لو يؤطى الناس بدعواهم لدعى رجال أموال قوم ودماءهم ولكن البينة على المدعي واليمين على من أنكر. So he said, Hadithun Hasanun Rawahu al-Bayhaqi wa ghayruhu hakadha wa ba'duhu fis-sahihayn. Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah had told us in the muqaddimah of his book that the ahadith still mentioned in this book are narrations that are each of it is a foundation from the foundations of deen. When he brought innamal a'malu binniyat, innamal a'malu binniyat is connected to all actions in Islam. Then he mentioned the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud. Like that, all the hadith in this book are from the foundations of deen. Last week or so we read the hadith la darara wa la zirara. The deen prohibits harming somebody and replying harm with harm. So all of these are from the foundations of religion. And the qaida of darura is also proven from this hadith of la darara wa la zirara, as we attempted to mention last week. So all of the hadith, every hadith in Arba'un is connected to some area, foundational matters in Islam. So similarly, this hadith is from the foundations, from amongst the foundations of the aspects of the Sharia, as we shall mention inshallah. Now, he told us again in his Muqaddimah that he is going to mention these ahadith, mahzufat al-asanid. He will mention them such that he had cut off the asanid. For example, this lam, this wording of this hadith is from Imam al-Bayhaqi. So he didn't tell us between Ibn Abbas and Imam al-Bayhaqi, because he intended to make hasful asanid, that is, cutting off the asanid, cutting off the chain of transmission between the collector, Imam al-Bayhaqi, and the reporter of the hadith, the companion who reported the hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this case, Abdullah ibn Abbas. So he came straight to tell us, he said, an Ibn Abbas, that this hadith is from Abdullah ibn Abbas. And he didn't also say Abul Abbas, because he had told us about one of his hadiths also in his book, where he said, An Abul Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas. So he did not need to tell us again his kunya, because he had mentioned it before. He had told us that Ibn Abbas has the kunya Abul Abbas, and that his name is Abdullah. So he just said here, An Ibn Abbas, from the son of Abbas. Because it is not only Abdullah alone that Abbas has. Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he does not only have Abdullah, he has other children too, that one of whom is even a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like that. So he's, but intended here is Abdullah ibn Abbas. And one of what makes us know that is that he had mentioned it before, Abdullah ibn Abbas. And then it lacks Ibn Abbas to generally say Ibn Abbas. In the ulama al-hadith, in the muhaddithin, among the scholars of hadith, they mean that Abdullah ibn Abbas. If they intended other than Abdullah ibn Abbas from the children of Abbas, they will say An Fulan ibn Abbas. They mention his name. But here, the intended person from the children of Abbas is Bahrul Ummah, Abu al-Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah. So he said, may Allah be pleased with them both. We mentioned some of the fadail of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, in previous hadith that we had read. He had many fadail, Abdullah ibn Abbas. The Prophet loved him so much, alayhi salatu wasalam. Don't forget that his father is the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad, and he is the Prophet's cousin, alayhi salatu wasalam. This hadith is from Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah. Both father and child are companions. Ibn Abbas is companion, his father is companion. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam qala. Ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhumah, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, لو يؤطى الناس بدعواهم لو يؤطى الناس بدعواهم. If people were to be granted things based on their claims, لو يؤطى الناس بدعواهم. If people were to be given whatever they claimed, a man comes and claims something, then he's giving what he claims. The man stands up and says, no, the brother's cap, that cap the brother is wearing, is my cap, and he's giving. The person comes and says, no, that bike, that fragile, is my bike, and he's giving. And a woman comes and says, no, my husband is a bad man, and it is just allowed. Law yu'tam nafsu bida'awahum. If men, people, are granted their claims, لَدَّعَى رِجَالٌ أَمْوَالَ قَوْمٍ وَجِمَاءَهُمْ لَدَّعَى رِجَالٌ أَمْوَالَ قَوْمٍ وَجِمَاءَهُمْ. People, men, you don't say rijal here alone, just men, women too. That is, لَدَّعَى النَّافِ. People, men and women, they would have claimed أَمْوَالَ قَوْمٍ وَجِمَاءَهُمْ. They would have claimed the wealth of people and their blood. So and so killed my father. And many things happen like this. It is now you turn now to be the awahum. If people were granted their claims just because they have claimed, la da'a rijalun amwala qawmin wa dima'ahum. People would have claimed the wealth of people, as you are given in the example. Now I'm just going to say, that car is my own. He's giving. Oh, that house is my own. He is giving. If this is the case, people would have been claiming people's property, wadima'ahum, and their blood. So their father would die. Say, no, so person killed my father. Just mujarrad, because of the fact that he claimed, so and so died, is. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported a hadith in his book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that some of the companions, two companions, went into one of their farms in Medina. So a brother just moved away, and by the time he turned, his other brother had died. They just came into the farm, one moved this way, the other moved that way. When he could just find a way to turn and say, this is my brother, he too should have gotten, he didn't see him again, he had died. He saw his corpse on the ground. He ran to the Prophet Muhammad. But my brother, so and so people have killed him. This is a claim. So now you come now to be the awahum. If it were just that, because of the fact that he claimed and the claim is granted, it means those people that they are claiming that killed his brother, and he is claiming that they killed his brother, they will have to pay the blood money. They would have just taken that blood money like that. So, but the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam called those people, and we'll try to explain inshallah. Because when things like that, a man claims something and says so and so belongs to me, the first thing you do is, this person claims that this phone you are holding is his, and it's your own. So if it were just the fact that he claimed, then that is it, it's sufficient. People would have been claiming people's property and people's blood. So in the first case, we are giving an example of how blood is claimed. Those people who are claiming the blood, I know they will pay for the blood money. They claim too. So people would have said, no, one day he cut my hand and I'll collect the money. I'll collect the price for it, the atonement for it, and all of these. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, لَوْ يُقَنَّا سُبِدَ عَوَاهُمْ. If people were just to be granted anything, whatever they claimed, لَدَّعَ رِجَالٌ أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Even some of the scholars says, لَدَّعَ رِجَالٌ مَنْ لَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْهُ. Now, the rijal who will claim people's property are those who do not fear Allah amongst people. But those who fear Allah amongst people will not claim what does not belong to them. Give it to your women. A woman will not say, my husband is not taking care of me, so I took from his property. So she will not claim that. So my husband is not taking care of me, so I had to borrow money to sustain myself. She will not claim. So where is it? He has to be compelled to return the money that I have borrowed. This is a claim by a woman. But if she's pious, she's a pious woman, and the husband has not done that to her, she will not claim it. So some of the scholars say that لَدَّعَ رِجَالٌ هُنَا, they say مَنْ لَا يَخْشَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, those amongst people who do not fear Allah. But the ones who fear Allah, they don't make false claims. So those who do not make fear Allah, they make false claims. They claim people's property falsely. And Allah has said that لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not take property from one another from true means that cannot permissible in the Sharia. Also he said in Hud, وَلَا تَبْخَصُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. Do not deny people with illegitimate means. Don't take things, don't take people's property from them illegitimately. وَلَا تَعْصَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. So that you do not, and then don't go on spreading evil and misogyny. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that لَوْ يُؤْتَى النَّاسُ بِدَعْوَاهُمْ, if people were to just be granted their claims, لَدَّعَ رِجَالٌ أَمْوَالَ قَوْمٍ وَدِمَاءَهُمْ, people who do not fear Allah would have claimed people's property, and they would have also claimed their blood. He tried to give some examples. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that walakin, but al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i. Al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i. Al-bayyinatu, yani, ma yubayyinu bihi al-haqq wa yuwaddihuhu bihi. That is, that by which tubayyinu al-haqq, you make the truth to be known. That is what you can call evidence. Al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i. Evidence, proof, is upon the one who is giving claims. That phone belongs to me. That brother is holding a phone, it belongs to me. I'm mudda'i now. I'm the one laying a claim. And he has said, if it were that just any person is giving anything that he claims, then people would have been claiming whatever belongs to them and what does not belong to them. So, but he says, وَلَكِنْ أَلْبَيِّنَةُ عَلَى الْمُدَّعِ. Evidence is upon the one who lays claim. That is, it is upon him to bring what? To provide evidence. So a person says, that car is my own. I have to saw another person riding the car. He reports to the authority and says, the car so-and-so is riding is my car. Or the cap so-and-so is wearing on his head is my cap. We say, okay, أَلْبَيِّنَةُ عَلَى الْمُدَّعِ. Evidence is upon the one who is claiming, who is laying claim to a person's property. So Sheikh Muhammad, Sheikh Fawzan al-Fawzan was saying, alayhi rahmatullah, hafizahullah, that if a person lays claim to something, says, this thing this person is holding belongs to me, he gives, lays that claim to the authority. Because here, if you look at the siyah, it says, لَوْ يُؤْتَى النَّاسُ. The fa'il allazi yu'ti an-nas lam yuzkar. The one who will give, people what they claim from the claimant was not mentioned. So they say ulul amr. Those people who are in authority, like the court, or during sulh, the one making islah bayn an-nas, the one who is trying to sort problems out between people. He may be in a position to give and take. to, but the one in really in authority, perhaps as we have the community now, the law court or the police or something, you can take something and give it from one person and give it to the other. So he said these are the people that do so. So they are, when a person lays a complaint to them, say that cap is my cap. The basic ruling is that the cap belongs to the man. And that's why the ulama said this hadith is also evidence that you do not accuse a man of a thing. And when you accuse him of a thing, that thing is not upon him until it is proven. So that's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, walaki al-bayyinatu al-mujtahid. It is upon the one who is claiming to do what? To provide evidence. So if I say, no, the cap is my own. So we now say, al-bayyinatu al-mujtahid. What it appears as if is that if it lays the claim, this cap belongs to me. This cap from brother so-and-so, Abu so-and-so's head belongs to me. So, and the other person is not arguing. He's not saying it's not his cap. He said he collects his cap and give it to him. I said, no, it's my cap. Aha. Then we start saying, al-bayyinatu al-mujtahid. So the one who claims that it's his cap now has to provide evidence. That the evidence that this cap is mine was that the day that I bought it, I wrote one inside. If you open that cap, you see one inside. Did you write one or one? Say no. If you open that cap, you see, and they open it and they see one. This is Bajina. So you thought, Nash, Bill Bajina. People will be giving based on what? Evidence. It is proven evidence. You saw so and so, a woman so and so doing Zina with a man. Say, how you claim that? To say, okay, al-bayyina to al-alim. What is the evidence? In this case, you have to provide four witnesses. You provide four things. Who saw it? So-and-so, so, Mr. Person, brother so-and-so, Abu so-and-so. And all of them will be invited by the court. And they will give evidences accordingly. If they are people who are, whose evidence is qualified to be taken. Because there are some of the people that if they are brought as witnesses in the law courts of Sharia, their witnesses will not be taken. From them are those who remove their beards. The ulama will not take, in the Sharia court of Islam, they will not take their evidence. Because they are considered as fusak. And we don't take evidence of a fasik. So trustworthy people's evidence are taken. Or those who drag their loin clothes on the ground. Become the law court of Sharia, they will not, the evidence will not be taken. So there is no bayina yet for such people. Their witness is zero. Zero witnesses. So there is no bayina. So the one who calls such people to make give evidence is not giving any evidence. Because those people are not qualified to be shahid. They are not also qualified to tell us that the moon has been sighted. That's what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. That fa'in shahida shahidani muslimani fasumu wa aftiru. If two Muslims who are capable of giving witness, and that was why the Arab who came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he saw them. What did he say to him? He said, "Atashhadu an la ilaha illallah." This hadith is declared weak by Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah. It's what is popularly known. But he has some comments in At-Ta'liqat al-Rabi'ah, the second volume, the fourth part of it, when he was talking about some, where he was saying in it that this hadith, he came across a riwayah of it in Al-Amali Al-Imam Al-Muhamili, that it is not is Hassan or Sahih. So what appears, Allahu A'lam, as right is that this hadith is either Hassan or Sahih. Some other people have also declared it Hassan, like Muhammad Bayuni in his Tafsir of Bulugh al-Maram. So this Arab came to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu and said that he thought the moon has been sighted. So أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولَهُ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ. They called Bilal, and you ask Bilal enough. He called Bilal that you should make the adhan and people should fast. The ulama say all of this questioning and all of that is to ascertain the personality of this person. Is he a Muslim? Capable of giving witnesses. Then we want to give establish bayina. So, al bayina to al mudda'i. Make sure that your witness is a capable witness. So you want to witness against a brother or against a woman, and then you bring a man that's clean shaven, dirty shaven, or you bring a man that is dragging his loincloth, or you bring a man that has other things that destroy the evidence of a man. Such evidence is as good as not being given at all. So he says, "In the winner to Al-Mudin." The one of the proof is upon the one who is claiming that something belongs to him, who is laying a claim to a thing. The onus, the right of evidencing is upon him to provide evidences for his or her claim. And then he said, "Wal yaminu ala man ankara." So when the evidence is provided, and the one says, "No, it's not like that." The evidence is provided, like the case of the cup that we gave. There's one in that cup. Look at it. You see one there. Usually, if it looks, if you look at it, you saw one there. That's evidence. So this, in cases like this, it usually resolves the problem. Because the inkar of the munkar, he could also say, "No, I also wrote one in my own." Then this case, this area comes in that. Al-yaminu ala man ankara. So you now tell the other one who say, "No, I also wrote one. It's my own too. When I bought it, I wrote one." So the, you see, al-bayyinatu now does not ordinarily solve the problem. And he is also making inkar. He's rejecting the fact that the evidence is against him. So you say, al-yaminu ala man ankara. He has to swear. He has to start taking oath now. "I swear by Allah, this cup is my own." So he has a duty to swear by Allah that the cup is his own, or that the evidence is not against him. There are many cases wherein this hadith can be fitted in. Many cases. There are cases women usually give evidence against their husbands. A woman comes to a law court and says, her husband is not giving her her nafaka, her due for maintenance, because it is the right of the woman to be maintained and to be accommodated. So she comes, "Hey, yes, he has accommodated me, but he's not maintaining me." So say, "Okay, where is he?" So "This is he, this is the man. He's not maintaining me. So I was taking money, I was taking food by debt." So he has to pay the debt. So the right is upon the man. So she's claiming, laying this claim. If the man does not say anything, he has to pay the money. He says, "No, I've been giving her. I've been giving her. I've been giving her." So say, al-bayyinatu al-mudda'i. It is for the woman now to provide evidence that the man was not giving her money for her upkeep, or as the case may be. So when she's now wanting to provide evidence, if she's providing a woman as evidence, she has to bring two women. If she's providing a man as evidence, she has to also bring a woman. Now a man. Now if she's providing evidence with women, and those women are women who do not wear hijab, they are coiling, the woman coils her hair and she comes to the law court, the evidence will not be taken, because all those women are considered as what? As a fact. So their evidence will not be taken. But she came with women that are wearing hijab and all of these known women, and they say, "Look, this man has not been giving his wife so and so." The evidence is established against the man. But if the man now makes the car, say, "No, they have lied. It's not true. I see you gave her enough money," and all of that, then we say, al-yaminu ala man ankara. It is for the man now to swear. Say, "No, wallahi, it's like this. Wallahi, wallahi," and all of this. So in that case, if he swears in the opposite, what will happen? What will the court do if the man that is given in this example swears in the opposite? So the government now takes that responsibility. As the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the case that we mentioned. In that case, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who paid the blood wheat. He was the one, alayhi salatu wasalam, who paid the blood wheat. Because he asked them that the people should swear. When the people, the tribe who they suspected that had, you know, killed that brother. The evidence is established that the brother had been killed. They killed him. So who else would have killed him? "I didn't kill my brother." So they are most likely to have killed the brother. So the Prophet said, "Will they swear?" They say, "No, we are not going to accept their swear, because they are Jews and they are kuffar. We are not accepting the swearing of kuffar." God gave them 80 camels himself, from the camels of Zakah. So it is said that when things like this happen, when people, after your name is made and the evidence is still left and right, the government waits in and resolves the matter between them. You see the honor that Islam has given to people. I'm sure if it were in the present, perhaps you'll still just go and throw the man, the one against whom the claim is made. Put him in the prison and punish him and suffer him. They will say he will confess. He will confess. When we were younger than this, our friends, some robbers robbed and parked the car in front of their house. So when police searched for the car, they saw the car in front of their house. They arrested everybody in the house. The guy is an Igbo guy, he's in America now. Very learned, very brilliant boy. He was in electrical electronics engineering. Very, very brilliant. We lived very close. He stayed there for almost 20-something days. When he came out, he was describing what they did to him. But unfortunately for him, he's huge. He's muscular, if you see. But he was very brilliant. And we didn't think he can do something like that. Except for his comfort anyway. But at that time, we didn't think that he could do something like that. 20-something days, he was in SIID. The punishing, he said they turned him upside down, they put his leg on the fan was rolling, he was rolling the fan. Things you can't describe. Meanwhile, it has not been thrown. Yes, you saw a car, and we know arm robbers do so. He said, no, I'm not. So in their case, there is no issue of Yamin. To start saying, they were lying, we are not. And don't forget, the absolute is usually there that the people around will be asked, what do you know this man for? Is he known for something like this? No, we are not. He said, no, it's not. There is nothing like that in the present day legal system. But in our Sharia, it deserves people's honor. And also, this is evidence that the Sharia preserves our property. No person will just come by mere claim and claim my own property. And no person comes, I cannot also go by mere claim. Just claim. That's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, law yu'tan nasu bida'awahum. If it's just because he claimed that he will be giving, la'da'a rijalun amwala qawmin wa dima'ahum. People will claim people's property and they will claim their blood. So the matter is not just about claim. Then there's also another benefit that the scholars have mentioned about this hadith. That it is evidence that to say that the person laying claim, the claimant, should provide evidence is the law in the Sharia. It has a reason. The reason is that if you don't do so, just anybody will lay claim to anything. It means the laws of the Sharia usually have reasons why Allah says, let it be like this. Whether we know that reason or we don't know it. Whether the Sharia, the Quran, or the Sunnah tells us that reason or it does not tell us the reason. In some cases, it will not tell us the reason why the laws are established. We just say, tilka hududillah. Faman yata'adda hududallahi. Faqad zalama nafsah. Don't trespass. Anyone who has trespassed has wronged himself. And sometimes he will tell us, la'allakum tashkurun, la'allakum ta'fiyun, wa la'allakum kala. So he will tell us the reason why he has established such laws. So the laws of the Sharia usually have reasons. So one of the reasons why the person who claims is required to give evidence and the person who denies accusation is required to have to swear is because if it were just left to the claims of people, people would be claiming anything from anybody. This is a very, very brief explanation. Look at the case of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. The woman was claiming that Nabi Yusuf invited her to Fahisha al-Zubillah. Why she was the one who did it? They walked around and they met the man who owned the house on the door. So in this kind of a case, it was just claims. So they started saying, in kindness, convince who put them in Dubai. So here, all of that Allah told us in Surah 6. And the evidence was against her because his clothes was torn from, فَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, because his clothes was cut from behind. They showed that she was the one trying to push Nabi Yusuf, pull Nabi Yusuf away. So he caught her. And yet they still made him to go to the prison. because of oppression. But in the end, Allah made the haqq to be established. Al-an haqq al-haqq. When he was told that he should go out, he said, no, ask those women first, what did I do? Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, where is to be me, I will go out before I start asking the women. Say, ah, Yusuf was patient. If I'm the one, the Prophet said to alayhi salatu wasalam, if I'm the one, I will not say they should ask those women. For when I was told to go out of the prison, a man who has spent about 9 years or thereabouts in the prison, is asking, no, go and ask those women first. Am I innocent or not? The woman was now saying that the truth is now clear. I was the one who invited him to Aisha. As she said, the Prophet Muhammad said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I am the one, once I'm told to go, I'll go out first before I start asking. Okay, now go and ask those men. So Yusuf was very patient, radiallahu anhu, alayhi salatu wasalam. So these are issues of claims. During the time of Nabi Sulaiman and Dawood, this one also came to mind. A woman claimed the daughter of another. The two women were quarreling over a child. You remember the story? The Prophet also told us the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Two women were claiming a child. They went to Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. The one is older than the other of the two women. So the one who is older was giving the child by Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam because he thought that she was older. An older person is most likely to have given birth to the child. He gave other reasons. So the younger one kept silent. And they went and they were still arguing, so they met Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So he made the complaint. He said, okay, my own judgment is that we should divide the child into two. So the older woman said, yes, they should divide the child into two. And the younger one said, no, they should not divide the child. Instead of dividing the child into two, let her take the child. Nabi Sulaiman collected the child and gave it to the younger one. But this is evidence that she gave birth to the child. If it were not her child, like it's the case for the older woman, she said, cut the child. But because of the shafaqa, the mother naturally has. And instead of killing the child, let the child live. The child is yours. Things like this are not necessarily referred to as bayinat. They are called karina. Because there is some slight difference between bayina and karina. Bayina is clear evidence. It evidences something clearly. But karina is what can point to something. Something that can still lead to something. That can, by which you can still make a conclusion that what is most likely is that, and it is true. If it were not her child, she would not say don't kill her. A mother cannot open her eyes and her child is cut into two. So the one who said cut it into two, so it's not your child. If it's your child, you will not say cut it into two. So Nabi Sulaiman gave the woman who is younger a child. So and the two of them, Allah gave them ilm and hikmah, like he said. So like he said in this hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, لَوْ يُؤْطَ النَّاسُ بِدَعْوَاهُمْ لَدَّعَى رِجَالٌ أموال قوم ودماءهم ولكن البينة على المدعي واليمين على من أنكر. Hope this hadith is clear, inshallah. This hadith is hadith حسن according to الإمام النووي عليه رحمة الله. The Sheikh Samir ibn Amin al-Zuhairi in his Tahqiq of Al-Arba'un mentioned that this hadith is sahih. He said also that Rawahu al-Bayhaqi. Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi reported this wording, this love of the hadith. Wa ghayruhu hakadha. And others besides Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi, Abu Bakr al-Bayhaqi. Wa ba'duhu fi sahihain. Yes, other aspects, some aspects of this hadith are contained in the two sahih. Sahih of Al-Imam al-Bukhari and that of Al-Imam al-Muslim. I think this suffices for this hadith, inshallah. The second hadith.